I recently returned from a trip to Ireland with my daughter. It was her first visit, and I hadn't been there since I was a kid, so it was wonderful to share some happy memories with her and to make new ones together. I knew it was a different country now. The recent legalization of same-sex marriage is evidence enough, and I was interested to see what else had changed. The cities had a feeling of energy and dynamism that I didn't remember. Help wanted signs were everywhere, restaurants and bars were always full even though it wasn't high tourist season, and in Dublin, construction cranes dominated the skyline. I was struck by the numbers of children we saw, in noticeable contrast to Italy, where I'd traveled last September, and the numbers support my anecdotal impression. Ireland is among the youngest EU countries, with percentages of the old and the young relative to the population that are almost the inverse of Italy's. Rural areas seemed little changed. There were still the narrow roads threading between hedgerows and the pleasant dissonance for an American of rounding a bend to see a 1,000-year-old ruin. The Irish really are friendly, and we never stopped for a pint of the local brew, Galway Gold or Killarney Blonde or Crean's Lager in Dingle, that we weren't engaged by them. Crean's, by the way, I discovered was named for Tom Crean, a tough Dingle native who went with Scott and then Shackleton on their polar expeditions and ultimately retired to his hometown and opened a pub. I had read about him in The Amazing Story of the Endurance last year and was delighted to discover the connection. One highlight of the trip was our stop in the tiny village near Cork, from whose parish my great-grandfather emigrated in 1870. I had indistinct memories of a visit there to my father's then-still-living second cousins, Patty and Jack, but couldn't possibly have remembered how to find their houses, so we'd just planned to pass through. The village itself, little more than a crossroads marked by the ruin of a stone church and forgotten graveyard, was a sober reminder of the exodus of young people from the countryside to the cities. It seemed nearly deserted, but as we consulted our map, a car pulled up to the pub and a man got out and unlocked the door. When I explained who I was, he exclaimed that he had owned the pub for 24 years and that 4 months after buying it, Patty had celebrated his 85th birthday there, then gone home and quietly passed away. He insisted that Patty's wife was still alive, which I found doubtful as Patty would then have been 109 years old. But he gave me elaborate directions to her house and repeated them about 5 times, which meant I actually found it. It turned out that she was Patty's stepdaughter, now in her 80s, and she observed tartly that Mr. Murray must be partaking a little too liberally of his own wares. She was bright and funny, and I was sorry we couldn't stay very long, as she seemed to enjoy our surprise visit very much. When I said I'd give her some notice the next time I came, she smiled a little wistfully and said, "Well, love, I may not be here." Her 28-year-old granddaughter dismissed that with a breezy, "Oh, you'll be here forever, Nana," and the old lady didn't argue. We kissed goodbye, both grateful for the little twist of fate that had brought us briefly together.